It is episode 47 of the Sprues and Brews podcast. My name is Dave and I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello.
And Jay.
Hello.
This is going to be a hot podcast.
That sounds a bit wrong, Dave.
It does sound a bit wrong for a Warhammer podcast.
We are broadcasting live from the realm of Akshi.
Yes, we are.
It is a bit sweaty in Sprues and Brews HQ.
If we don't get to finish this podcast, it's because we have melted whilst we're recording. Or my Mac might have overheated.
Yeah, or both.
Or both. So we have actually got, though, a really good episode for you, because last Saturday we had the Warhammer Age of Sigmar Open Day.
Oh, yeah.
So that is going to be our big feature on this week's podcast, because there is a lot to cover. Put it this way, we usually only expect maybe one army to be announced. Well, GW were like, nah, not this time. So that's all to come later on in the podcast. We've also got the news, which will be coming up shortly. We have our top three returning with our top three rivalries.
Yeah, should be a fun one this week.
Should be a good one. And we'll have the community topics as well, of which there's quite a few.
Mm.
But before we get into all of that, we shall start off with our hobby updates. I have a feeling this is going to be centred quite strongly around this weekend's upcoming Purple Sparkly Unicorns tournament, the two-dayer.
Yeah, God Beast Unchained.
God Beast
That's
Unchained.
That's a cool name for a tournament.
It is a cool name.
Yeah. Matt, do you want to start us off with what you've been doing?
Well, I finished my Ivan's Deepkin for the tournament. I mean, I think last week they were pretty much done, but finishing touches, the bases are done now. They are ready to rock.
The Eidolon is new, which
is
awesome.
Yeah, I bought and painted an Eidolon in. The army's taken probably just over 2 weeks, painting time. There's been some gaps there where we've had events and tournaments and just being far too hot to paint. But they're all done. Really, really pleased with them. Kind of want to get some more fish to add to them, but as we'll see later in the podcast, there's other stuff that I'm going to start. Now, me and Dave had a bit of a practice game, because like we said, we've got a tournament coming up. I'd had one game with the Idoneth with a winged army list, and I wrote it on the way.
You only have 50% of the army as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, is this the Triumph and Treachery game?
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't even a proper game, was it? It was just Triumph and Treachery.
So Dave came round and pitted his Stormcast against the Deepkin. The Deepkin are pretty good, aren't they, Dave?
They are nails. I hadn't used this tournament list before. It's gone through some changes in the past couple of weeks because my heart ruled over my head a little bit. Definitely not a competitive spirit in my body. But I thought it would still be pretty good. It didn't go quite according to plan.
No, I mean, I gambled pretty much everything on the turn two priority. And if you'd have got the priority, I think those evocators would have wiped out a load of my army.
It would have been completely different, because my evocators and my dragon would have charged at the same time.
Yeah.
At the same two units and absolutely had the time of their lives.
And the thing with Deepkin, it's all about the timing and positioning. So you can't hold them back on the off chance that you lose it. I think you've just got to roll the dice and go for it. And if it pays off, you've battered him. If it doesn't go off, well, then you come up with a backup plan.
Yeah, you wing it.
You wing it, yeah. But yeah, it was really good.
Fin it.
But yeah, it was really fun. We played, what scenario was it?
So it was Total Commitment.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Which also met my evocators, who love hanging out in the celestial realm, ready to beam down onto the battlefield, had to start on foot.
That did hamper you a little bit, because I'm not too affected because I'm so fast as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's good. I imagine I'll probably get battered game one at the tournament after that, but we'll see. I also built some new models. I built a steam tank over the last few days and some free guild archers. I wonder why that could be.
Free guild archers.
to be honest, I was looking for some handgunners, but I thought, let's just get a free guild kit to build. But all will become clear in our main segment later on. And I have almost finished my Blood Bowl team as well. I've done the kind of trousers and the armour and the skin. Just need to do the kind of uniform. And then they're done. I might add some sponsorship. McGurty's Burgers, I think, are going to be sponsoring the...
What's the name of your team?
West Hamburgers.
West Hamburgers.
Yeah. I need to get some tree men. The Forge World one's really nice, but it is meant to represent the star player. There isn't a plastic kit yet, which is strange, because I thought it'd come out alongside the Wood Elves, because,
it's a positional on the Wood Elves,
But it didn't matter. I'm probably going to pick up some Middle-Earth Ents, because they're a bit lankier. I can probably put some armour plates on them. They should fit pretty well.
There is another tree man star player as well.
He looks a bit more Kenneth Huntry.
Maple
well,
Highgrove. Ah, only Wood Elves can take him, though. He has tentacles for arms.
Tentacles?
Yeah.
Well, he's actually
got a skill called tentacles.
All right.
Okay. There you go, then. That tree probably wants cutting down, isn't it, into. So, yeah, so it's been a pretty busy week. I'd have liked to have done some painting on the Free Guild stuff, but it's just been too hot.
Wait till you see the book.
Yeah, well, that's the spoilers, Jay. But, yeah, I want to kind of work out which free city I'm going to do as well. I've got an idea, but, yeah, that'll probably be for a future podcast. How about you, Jay? What have you been up to?
Same as you, Matt. I've been just finishing.
Well, you've been painting some Deepkin as well.
Painting some Deepkin, some halflings. No, well, I was really impressed with the Eidolon, especially like Matt painted. So yeah, if people haven't seen it on Twitter, it's very, very good. And it was all done with contrast, wasn't it? And then new metallic.
Mostly contrast, yeah. Yeah,
very cool. But yeah, I think last week I said I'd already painted the Treelord Ancient. So this week I've painted another Treelord.
You've been nailing these tree lords.
Yeah, I could. If anyone wants any tree lords painted, I got it down to about 3 hours now to paint a tree lord, so I'm really happy with how they've turned out. I've also painted the Spite Swarm Endless Spell. So my army's in front of us now on the table. That's ready for packing up to take it to the tournament.
So you've got five Behemoths, including the summoned one.
Yeah, four Behemoths to start off with, and then a Lariel. Most likely she's going to summon another tree lord. She has the option of summoning another 20 Dryads if they need them, or some Kernel Hunters. But I think I'm just going to summon another tree list.
I quite like your monster heavy list. It gives your opponent a lot of things to think about.
That's the plan.
A lot of high damage range attacks, a lot of stomps.
Yeah, well, that's it. They've all got ranged attacks. They all get to stomp. So on a 4+, an enemy unit within 3 inches is fighting last. And they can all try that. Also, I've got quite a few healing abilities in there. So Alario will heal every Sylvan Elf unit within 30 inches. D3 wounds. The Tree Lord Ancient can try and cast Regrowth for another D6 wounds. And then the Tree Lord Ancient's command trait, once he's cast a spell, he can pick another unit and they heal D3 wounds. So you can heal 2D3 plus D6 wounds in the hero phase.
Yeah, that's good.
So yeah, and they've all got 3 plus armor as well on the Behemoths. And with the command abilities from the Tree Lord, you can give them reroll ones for saves and also a 6 plus ward save in combat. So they're quite resilient, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
I've not used them yet, though, so this will be like a trial by fire on the...
Your trees also have tentacles.
Yeah, these ones have tentacles. Two of them have tentacles. Strangle roots, they are. They're really cool missile weapons because they don't go through the air. They go under the ground and come out. I don't know how it works in, like, castles and things like that.
If you want to see what that looks like, watch Guardians of the Galaxy towards
the end. Yeah. Other than that, I have been putting together, not painting, I've base coated them and got them ready for painting, the Wood Elves. These are the Wild Bodkins, my Blood Bowl team. That we're
the Wild Bodkins.
Yeah, going in.
They're really nice
the...
models, aren't they?
Ah, I mean, I need.
Does this get you wanting somewhere Wanderers in AOS?
I'm really, really keen to build some Wanderers now. But, I mean, these guys are really cool. They remind me of Harlequins. They're a bit musclier, but they're really nice models. The unfortunate thing is you only get. I think it's only 4 Lines Elves, and I need 8 of them. So I need to buy another box.
Well, that gives you some spare, you know, war dancer conversion material.
It does, yes. And they're not that. It's like 20-odd pounds from Element for the thing. So I'll be getting another box of them to add the other. So I'll have 8 Lines Elves, 2 War Dancers, and a Catcher as my starting 11. 2 rerolls and 10,000 golds in the kitty.
Awesome. So, yeah, August is a bit of a busy one, but in between, I think we'll be doing some, like, some War Cry, some Blood Bowl, some Warhammer roleplay, and then we'll probably be back on the proper games of AOS September, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. And hopefully September we can all sort of start a new army or something.
Yeah.
And go towards Christmas. Wow.
It's all building up to this this segment, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
This feature.
But I'm not painting or building anything today because, one, it's too hot, and two, I finished what I need to paint this week.
Yeah, you've done well.
Excellent. What have I been up to? So I've been finishing off my Stormcast ready for the weekend. Not quite finished yet. My dragon's there, really. It just needs to be based. I've started doing the dude on top with his arc hammer.
Dude on top.
So my Drake Sworn Templar, sorry. Yeah. So he'll be finished this evening. And then all that leaves me to do tomorrow is just finish off my sequaces. Which won't take too long.
So, I mean, you've decided to take the dragon. You were talking before about it perhaps not being the most competitive list. But thinking about it now, you've got a lot of options in your Stormcast now. You've got a lot of different units painted. So you can put together quite a few different lists now. for future battle posts.
Well, there's still more Stormcast that I want to. I've got some Stormcast I haven't seen paint yet.
You've got some Vanguard as well, haven't you?
And I've only got one unit of five hunters. But I do fancy picking up some more Vanguard and doing a shooty list, completely shooty.
Yeah. I think shooty's going to be good in this season of Age of Sigmar.
And also, I really fancy getting a Celestine Prime.
He's a nice model.
He's a very nice model. He's a bit of a. He only has 8 wounds, which to bay him off standard nowadays.
My shark's about 8 wounds and they're 120 points.
Yeah, but he has got a -3 free damage hammer.
That's pretty good.
Not many wounds. Dock on hammer.
Basically, whatever he hits,
it's Galmaros, isn't it?
Yeah. Galmaros, the Warhammer. Yeah.
Does he still have that cool ability where the longer you hold him back?
Yeah, he gets 2 attacks per turn. He's in reserve.
That's ace.
And I think he gets 4 attacks anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so you drop him into the game to just annihilate wherever you throw him.
Fails the charge. He comes down 9 inches away with a billion attacks and then fails the charge. Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. And he can still also call comets down his shooting attack.
That's cool.
So that's cool. But I've not got him. I'm going off subject. That's all I've got left to paint for my song. Really enjoyed painting the dragon. That's probably one of the oldest Stormcast models I've got. I remember when we first started playing AOS and that dragon came out, I just had a good paycheck that particular month, whenever it was, and just went, I'm buying a Star Drake. So it feels great to finally have him painted.
It will be good to have him on.
He looks really good as well. The scheme goes well with your Celestial Vindicator.
Contrast was the winner. If it wasn't for contrast, I don't think he would have been ready in time.
Well, the scaly skin suits contrast. I found that with the Seraphon
in Matt's Turtle.
Yeah.
That was the real. So that's what I've done with them. I can't remember if I mentioned this last week or not, but I have got 1,000 points of Flesh Eater Courts now.
Yeah.
So I've done a test Ghoul and a test Crypt Flayer.
They look really good as well.
Yeah. Really like those. So I'm going to get 1,000 points of them painted.
Yeah. I've seen heretical chats going on today as well.
Jay doesn't know about this.
No, he doesn't.
Actually.
What?
Now, I've had an itch for a long, long time, and just recently it's got stronger. The force is strong in this itch.
You dedicated yourself to the Blood God. I mean, you know, Khorne will accept all souls, but...
Yeah, you're building a Khorne, aren't you?
I'm thinking of building 1,000 points of Khorne, yeah. Yeah.
That'll be good with contrast.
Eventually, I'm going to need to take one of these 1,000 points and take up to 2,000. But I think it's good, though, getting all these different... Because I'll then work out what I really want to take up to 2K.
Yeah.
After the contrast challenge we did, where we painted 1,000 points in a week, I think it's a manageable target. It gives you a flavour of the army. You can expand outwards. You can quickly get some games in with it and figure out whether it's an army you want to stick with.
But that's it. 2,000 points can be a bit overwhelming. You could find out that you don't like the playstyle of the army and you've put, you know, a couple hundred quid into it.
Yeah.
Depending on the time frames of what we're going to be talking about in a bit, which we keep hinting at, I don't know if I should get... Because I think the Flesh Eaters will be super easy to paint. So I could very quickly maybe start picking up some corn. Or do I hang fire depending on the release schedule for the new Battletomes.
New Battletomes, yeah.
Me and Matt are away for August. We could come back and you could have 1,000 points of corn ready.
Yeah, I could. That's a good point.
It's worth mentioning to the listeners, me and Jay aren't away together.
No. You're abandoning me for, you know, weeks.
Yeah.
Shocking.
So tune into the Dave show where Dave rants about
Dave
not being here.
Solo show, yeah. So that's it. I've just had the one game. That's with you, Matt.
Yeah.
My bum handed to me.
One game's all you need.
Thanks for the tournament prep, Matt. I'm going in with high expectations.
At least you haven't got Idenef in the first round.
I'm the only Idenef player.
Oh, of course, yeah. So that's one guarantee. It's such a tease that Chief Unicorn has been teasing all week the lineups, and he's put
Grand Alliance.
What Grand Alliance are playing on each table, and it looks like I'm either against... Cause you two have now been revealed because you've been teasing it during the course of the week. So you two know who you're facing. I don't. I think I'm either going to be against Death as well as you, Jay.
Yeah.
Or Order.
Well, you could be up against the horrific
Flesh
Eater Courts.
Potentially.
Because
you're facing double Vampire Lord and Dragon, which seems like a horrendous army.
Until you look at that, I've got 4 Tree Lords.
Yeah, if anyone's got a good chance of doing it, it's them guys.
We'll see. Next week's podcast should be a good one because we'll run through how the tournament goes.
We've got Chief Unicorn Craig Chester's on as special guest next week as well, which is cool.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, that's really cool. So that rounds up our hobby opening segment of the show. We've got a top three later on. We've also got the big open day feature. But next, we've got the news. We are going to skip past the open day news because we have a segment dedicated to it. But we have got some other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there's a few bits. Now, obviously, Warcry is still on pre-order. It is a two-week pre-order to give you a chance to get your orders in because it looks amazing.
Yeah, it does.
But there is something on pre-order on Saturday, which is cool. Some classic Chaos Sorcerers made to order.
You know what this is for, don't you? This is for the long-awaited Chaos Sorcerer we saw teased ages ago.
Well,
on
I was
Rim
thinking
Ranking.
This, yeah. It's strange that didn't come with the Chaos book, though. Unless it's in, like, a battle box or something.
I wonder if it is going to be in, like, a battle box.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yep.
It could be, like, Exodites versus Siege or something like that.
That'd be cool. So, yeah, that teased model isn't in this release. This is just three classic Chaos Sorcerers made to order. So, if you want them...
They're nice sculpts,
They are good sculpts. Jez Goodwin, probably, I imagine. Right. Old school sculpts. If you want them, you've normally got a week to get your order in, and then they're gone forever. I say forever. There's always a chance these things come back, but yeah, if you want them, I'd get them now, so you'd have to pay
some. They're gone for the foreseeable future. Doesn't sound as good, does it?
It doesn't, no.
Doesn't sound as impactful.
If you're a Warhammer Underworlds fan, the restricted list is updated. Now, some of the cards I had in my Caradhron list are now on this. You know, that really a Caradhron list.
I think, if I remember rightly, though, it just you can take five.
You can, yeah. So just, it just limits those really good cards. Yeah, it's not so like not a ban list. Well, there is a ban list, but they're not on it. So, yeah, that's in preparation for the third season, which, again, we'll talk about in a little bit. It's all very exciting. If you were a fan of Mechanicus, the PC game, there is a new expansion out called Heretic, which is about the Dark Mechanicum, or as some would call them, the True Mechanicus. And yeah, at the minute, it is £5.94 for the expansion on Steam, which is a stonking price for it.
It gets good reviews as well.
Yeah, the base game is £22.99 at the minute. It's pretty much XCOM with a 40k skin.
I kind of wrote this off as a bit of a cash-in, but it wasn't until I saw the announcement of the expansion that I actually saw the reviews for the original game. And they're doing a special edition, aren't they, where you get the game, the expansion, and some extra
soundtrack
DLC
and stuff, I think, yeah.
Yeah. If I had a PC, I'd be tempted.
You should get a PC. So you're looking at less than £30 all in to get the whole lot, which is really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know how long that's on offer for. Normally it's the first couple of weeks that they have these things cheap, and then it goes up to full price again. And then the last bit of non-open day news, we had the latest Sisters of Battle update, and the Repentia have been shown off. These look really cool. So the last ones were a bit silly. The kind of think fetish model with chainsaw. These look a bit more serious. Well, as serious as 40k can be.
You got like bionic arms.
So obviously Sisters are not post-human, so they need interface ports to work with a suit of power armour. So you can see all these ports in their flesh, and I think that's really kind of nice. Touch,
yeah,
because they haven't got the black carapace.
Yeah,
they are super dynamic as well. Those poses.
Yeah, well, they showed a few models where it's the same base model, but the kind of robes and purity seals are sculpted in such a way that they'd work showing the movement in two different positions.
That's good, very clever.
So yeah, if you had a big squad, you'd have loads of variety in there. They look really, really cool. And yeah, that is all the non-open day news. Obviously a quiet one for pre-orders once Warcry is out of the way. Well, then we'll see if any of this stuff that we're about to talk about is on pre-order. And if it is, that's going to be super exciting.
That was the quickest news segment we've had in quite a while, but that is because we've basically just sidelined
We've saved
news.
Like the big news, yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else we can add to this news segment, or we're just going to call it that?
I think that is the news segment.
I don't think there's anything else, is there?
No.
Nope. Apart from that, we have seen, I don't think these were at the open day, these were this week, the reveals for the two extra Warcry factions.
We mentioned that last week.
The
names of the two extra ones. Right.
There were some silhouettes released I saw this week. Which,
they're in the book. Oh, they're in the Warcry book. That's how they've kind of surfaced.
Edit
online.
That out. Old news.
Right. We'll take another brief pause and we'll come back with the big one, the big feature. We've been hinting at it since the start of the podcast. last Saturday, Matt, only you, Matt, we couldn't make it.
Yeah, but the rest of the team forsook me, for sakes, me. they left me alone.
I had family commitments, unfortunately. I say unfortunately, that's sound mean to all my family members, isn't it? but you, Matt, went along to Warhammer World for the Age of Sigmar Open Day.
I did, so as I was Billy No Mates, brought me brother along for the adventure. And yeah, we got there bright and early. We were really near the front of the queue, which was good for reasons that we'll see in a bit. And he'd never been to Warhammer World before. He'd been to a few games days of old.
The NEC.
NIA, the really, really old ones. So yeah, we turned up, and on the way in, they, similar system to last time, they had seminar slots on the first come first served as you came in the door, so we managed to get into the Age of Sigmar seminar, which is brilliant because that's where got the majority of the news for this week's episode from. Went upstairs, and as they have done in the last few ones, a lot of the tables have been taken out of their kind of like gaming hall. They had a big paint and take table set up where you could paint some of the new Warcry models and take them home. Quite a cue to that, so we didn't manage to get to that.
That was the Iron Golem.
Yeah, and there was a few different poses on the frame that you could build up and paint with contrast, which was cool. They had a few demo tables showing off Warcry as well, and they had the full boxes there that you could rummage through and have a look at the components. It is a big, beefy box.
I checked it out at Games Workshop in Crewe late on Saturday, because I had to do some shopping when I got back from Sandbach. I had to get my fill of Warhammer in somehow, seeing as it wasn't at the open day. So I checked them out, and they're ace.
Yeah, well, we've ordered one with a Sprues and Brews budget this month, but I'm tempted to pick up one myself, because I think I'm going to have to paint all these warbands for...
Dan, the store manager, was on about, because I was saying to him that I want the Iron Golems. You can't build all your different guys in one box.
Yeah.
So you really need to have two units of them.
Are the Iron Golems... Available separately.
Not at the moment, but I imagine they will be soon.
So you do
after.
Need two starters.
Well, I imagine you could start with the contents of the box and have a smaller the campaign system.
Oh no, yeah, it's a perfectly fine, but you've got to pick and choose
which you have in that initial.
What kind of unit you're going to miss out on?
I imagine by the time that you're able to slot in more stuff, you know, they'll probably be out separately anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks really, really good. They had the designers of it there as well, kind of showing off the mechanics. They had the packs of cards for the Sigmar factions as well. And, you know, all those factions that are out, there's a lot of variety. Mm. You know, you can do an Eol list for Deepkin, which is cool. I've ordered these as well, so I can put together a few different warbands. The games look really quick. The mechanics are really interesting. So basically, you roll off. Whoever's got the most singles gets priority, but doubles, trebles, quads, fives... get you can spend those to use abilities on your card, so if you're not going first, you've got the advantage that you're going to be able to get off your decent abilities, which is really cool. There's no to hit to wound, you just roll to hit and that's it,
do the damage.
There's
really a cool quick. Campaign through there where you can almost level up your bands.
Yeah, so each of the Chaos bands has two campaigns that they can follow, and there's like certain games and scenarios and loads of lore behind it. And they've done that because they know that, obviously when we were younger, there's a lot more time to play through a campaign. This means that you can play in the group campaign against anyone. So it doesn't matter if, say, somebody's on holiday or somebody's busy that time.
Yeah.
There's mechanics to make it work.
Your campaign still moves along, even if you're playing different people at different stages in their campaign.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
You could finish your campaign before everyone else's and start a new one. As you go along, you get territories, which allows you to take more units, essentially. You get a bigger points value. When you finish your campaign, that resets, but your items, your experience sort of stays. So then you'd have a smaller band again and work your way through. It looks really, really well thought out, and there's loads of scope for supplements and adding non-chaos stuff to it. It's set around the Varan Spire, which is Archaon's hold, and these are basically various... Chaos factions who are coming for tribute and fighting to prove their worth. It looks really, really good. So, yep, they had all the miniatures there, all the designers of the miniatures. The guy who designed the faceless ones.
The Unmade,
yeah. He was saying how he was originally given the brief to do the snake guys, but he's really scared of snakes, so asked if he could do the other guys instead.
No way.
So, for a guy who's scared of snakes, weird guys with no faces is some pretty weird
stuff.
That's just
day-to-day.
Exactly, yeah.
Normality, that.
So that was really cool. They had... you got a raffle ticket when you went in, and they had some of the art team, over the course of the day, created some art pieces, and at the end of it, they raffled them off.
Oh, wow, brilliant.
Which was really cool. We didn't win anything, but it was really good. And the stuff they were putting together, you'd think it was some kind of, computer... artwork. He'd done this with pens and coloured crayons.
Wow.
And it looked amazing. Wow. Me and brother were looking at this going, this is insane skills that you've got on here. John Blanche was there with his big book of concept art, and yeah, it's always good to have a look through that if you get the chance.
Does John Blanche go anywhere without his big book of concept art?
I don't think he does. But the main draw was Age of Sigmar. So when we got in, we clocked Ben Johnson and Jez Bickham, the kind of head honchos of the Age of Sigmar studio. Ben kind of beckons us over and goes, look in that cabinet, in that cabinet. And they had two new battle tomes up.
Not one, Matt.
Not one, but two.
Two.
So the first one really excited me. Cities of Sigmar. So this has allegiances for 8 free cities. And different army lists, different traits, different abilities, depending on which free city you pick. It's essentially a battle tome, elves, humans and dwarven. However, depending on which city you have, Stormcast can be in all of them, Sylvaneth can be in the living city, and Caradrons can be in temples, Tempest's Edge, I think it's called. And then there's other cities, so there's the, I can't remember what it's called now, but the very kind of high-tech one, where as Ben Johnson made sure to get in there to, convince us all to buy some. An army of steam tanks is possible with this.
It's like an Iron World Arsenal type.
That's the Iron World Arsenal, yeah.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
It's going to be a big book then, this one. Did it look big in the cabinet?
It's a massive book. The pack of cards was huge. Now, he did say they've had to remove some of the older stuff. There is some stuff going to Warhammer Legends. They're going to announce that on Warhammer Community.
So, Warhammer Legends.
I imagine plastic kits are probably fairly safe.
Right.
Stuff like War Dancers, maybe not so.
Well, War Dancers aren't in the Wanderers list. War Dancers are currently Wood Elves or Compendium. So you can take them in order, but yeah,
they're probably going to be one of the units that drops to Warhammer
Legends.
But
it's interesting, that is. We'll come back to that.
Okay. Yeah, it looks really good. The Wanderers are definitely in it. The Scourge Privateers are definitely in it if you want to do your pirate-themed
Dark Elf list
with... humans in there.
I was looking at this because when you obviously I was thinking, oh, I really maybe do a free city. So I was looking at some of like the Corsairs. My goodness, their rules are rubbish.
Well, what's the name? Sam Pearson says that all the war scrolls have been given some love as well.
Oh, that's
so great. I think all these war scrolls are probably going to change.
You mean Iron Drake's going to get better?
Iron Drake's could get better. Well, you see, I'm thinking of doing an artillery Sigmar force, so probably the Iron World city. I can't remember what the city's called, but the one with all the guns, basically.
Hellstorm rocket batteries.
Yeah, multiple steam tanks, multiple artillery, dudes with guns, with maybe a few archers as like forward scouts.
Yeah, someone to like bully in the ranks.
Yeah, I mean, they're really, really stealthy. They've got big feathers in their hats and stuff. Probably no kind of close combat dudes, just guns. Because currently they get Overwatch.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they keep that, I think that'll be a pretty good list in the current meta, as the kids call it.
Yeah.
And I've always fancied, I've mentioned it loads on the podcast, that I fancy doing an Empire army. The fact that I can drop in some Iron Drakes and stuff now.
Yeah,
and some Dwarden cannons and stuff. Probably not so much Wanderers and Sylvaneth in mind, but I imagine you'll probably go for a classic Wood Elf styled army with.
Yes, well, there's a couple of things that excite me about this book. One, I can do a full dispossessed army.
Yeah.
So currently, it's hard to build a traditional dwarf army with your cannons, your war machines, and your Ironbreakers and Longbeards because they're split across the different allegiances. So you have to ally them in. So then, by the time you've put your cannons in, you can't afford the engineer to buff them, so it doesn't work. So hopefully you can build... one of the cities will let me build a traditional-looking dispossessed army.
Tempest's Edge is the dwarf city, so they can take Caradrons in the standard list as well. So you could take dispossessed, what they call the shooty ones.
Dispossessed, Ironworld Arsenal.
Ironworld Arsenal and Caradrons all mixed together into an awesome dwarf army.
So that'd be great. So that's one list I want to build. I've already got 1,000 points of dwarfs. The second 1,000 points I need to add to those dwarfs are a few cannons and things like that, so that would be good. The second list I want to build, and it's a list that I've wanted to build for a while now, is a old high elfy Swifthawk agents list with the Shadow Warriors, the Sky Cutters, an Archmage, some Swordmasters, that kind of list. But those both of those lists will probably be on the back burner because the list I really want to build is a Wanderers list.
Yeah. I think Wanderers are going to get some love, especially if you can take Sylvaneth as part of the Grand Alliance rules for the city.
I've already been looking at like broken combinations. So, for example, you get the Dryads here. In units of 10, they get plus 1 to their save. In cover, they get another plus 1, so they're plus 2 to their save. The Wanderers unit, Sisters of the Fawn, can cast a spell, currently, whether they still have this spell going forward, which lets them reroll saves, and on any, not on modified, just on any 6 plus, you do a mortal wound back. Now, if Dryads have already got plus 2 to their save, you do mortal wounds back on a 4 with a reroll. So.
Now, it's worth mentioning these cities have got their own allegiance rules, so you're not going to have your summoning woods. Well, they might get a form of summoning woods, but they're not going to have the Sylvaneth rules.
No.
Maybe they can just place their one tree at the beginning.
They might not
of the game.
Place a tree from the city.
Yeah, it's just the plus one saves for cover and plus one saves for being in unit 10, so it's not tied to the Sylvaneth Wildwoods. But
they're tied.
I like draw. That because I always preferred proper wood elf army with trees and elves together in harmony.
Yeah.
but there's 8 cities. I mean, we've mentioned what 4 of them. They've got your piratey dark elves. You've got your all the guns in the world.
There's the
you've
Phoenician
the,
cities.
Which one's that?
There was. I remember back in the campaign, early days of Age of Sigmar, they did the campaign for the cities, wasn't there? The ones that they found. One of them was a Phoenician city, the Phoenix Guard, Temple Guard.
Yes, so this is very kind of Temple Guard, Phoenix Guard kind of themed. That will probably be a classic High Elf styled city.
Yeah.
There's obviously Hammerhal, which is kind of overseen by the Stormcast Eternals.
Yeah.
So that'll be your more Stormcast heavy city. I think this is a really good way of doing books. I've got a feeling this is how they're going to do books like kind of here on out. Give you a lot more customizability to how you put together your force.
It's almost like the old edition of Warhammer Fantasy.
It is. Yeah.
You're going to be able to build all those traditional army lists. They need to do something on the other side now for the destruction and chaos.
Well, funny you should mention that because the other book they had shown on the event was a Dispossessed book.
No.
Dispossessed.
Dispossessed.
Destruction online. Book. Uruk Warclans.
Now, this is one that I will definitely be picking up.
So this book combines the Iron Jaws and the Bone Slitters together into a massive tome, very similar in style to the Free Guild one we've got here.
You've got 3 tribes, haven't you? You've got your Iron Jaws, if you just want to go pure Iron Jaws, they've got their own allegiance abilities. If you want to go pure Bone Splitters, you've got your Bone Splitters, pure allegiance abilities. Or you can just go for the big wah!
The Great Wah! So these have got an awesome command ability, really, where they generate wire energy, and they've got to kind of choose at what point you unleash it, so it's kind of a resource that you have, which is a new mechanic for the orcs, I suppose.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, similar to those other Cities of Sigmar rules, you'll get different units that change their positions in battle line and such, which is cool, gives you lots of options compared to what you've currently got for building an Uruk army.
Well, when I was looking at taking Iron Jaws up to 2k, I was looking at Bone Splitters as allies. You know, a lot of people take Arrow Boys to, they're not great, but at least they're a ranged option.
Yeah.
And also quite like, I think they're called the Maniacs. They're pretty cool. And the Prophets as well, they're really cool models.
Yeah.
But they don't, at the moment, they don't fit with Iron Jaws because their spells affect Bone Splitters.
Yeah, well, in the seminar, they mentioned that they've seen that the kind of mixed Gloomspike Gits isn't as good as one of the pure factions. So in both these books, they're making sure that mixed armies work and there's synergies and there's cool abilities that work off each other.
I think that just, certainly in the Cities of Sigmar list, the amount of units that that's going to cover, there's going to be some really good combinations in there. Yeah. People are going to, you know, just from the sheer number of units, I just talked about one, Sisters of Fawn with Dryads, there's going to be others in there that combo well together.
Iron Drakes with the Luminarch.
Yeah.
Plus one to hit.
Yeah, that's it, plus one to hit, yeah. There's something else that goes well with the Iron Drakes as well. I think it might be the other engine.
If we're talking about buffing the Iron Drakes, you stick a Knight Elsroth in there as well for another plus one to hit.
So there's going to be lots of cool stuff you can do. And they were saying in the seminar they wanted to do similar for the Uruks, which is cool. You know, I think it'll look cool and nice. Gives you more variety of units because as nice as the Iron Jaws are, you've only got so many units to pick from.
Yeah, you have.
It's pretty good on the destruction side there, then, because you've got all the goblins now in one book, the Skrigs, goblins, trogs. You've got all the green skins in one book now for destruction. So you get, like, what is it, ogres left? All the ogres in one book, and you've got three big sort of, like...
But yeah.
Tomes covering all the...
It's almost as if they've gone back to the... what do they call them? The kind of annuals they did with all the Grand Alliance books.
Do you know what I think it is as well? I think part of this is appeasing, obviously, a lot of the classic fans, but it's really like saying, right, okay, we've now sorted all the old fantasy armies. They're all now more competitive.
Yeah.
They've got fun books. Let's really crack on with some new stuff.
Yeah. A lot of these armies have been left in limbo, and these well, three, the third one we're talking about a bit, but these releases really cover the majority of the old armies that haven't had any love yet in Sigmar.
Yeah.
There's arguably Chaos left, and I imagine they'll get something very similar with different Chaos tribes.
We're going to get a big Slaves to Darkness books. I mean, all the new Warcry stuff have got the Slaves to Darkness keyword in there. I think Slaves to Darkness is really going to be about just a real mishmash of Chaos stuff all united.
Which is cool. I like that. And yeah, I imagine we'll see something very similar to these books. There were some pictures that we saw of what looked like totems in the background for the orcs. Now, that might just be scenery that the studio's created, because they do that. I mean, I was lucky enough to play on the scenery that they built for the Skaven book when it was on Warhammer TV. But these did look kind of like something that you might get in a plastic kit. That's as a shame. Kind of scenery piece.
There was some new scenery in one of the cabinets, like a ruined sort of... Is that what you're talking about? Like the ruined sort of, like...
That looked more like kind of scratch-built art scenery. The totems looked like... There's some, like, consistency between them.
Orc faces and icons and stuff like that. Cool. I think that'd be cool. They didn't announce any scenery or endless spells for either the Cities of Sigmar.
They didn't commit to whether there was any new models either way. I imagine there probably will be. Well, but they didn't say.
Yeah. One thing, and especially now with the Bone Splitters being merged in with the regular orcs, I think it was in the Forbidden Power campaign book, there was some artwork of a Bone Splitter Shaman on a Mawcrusher.
Ah.
And it was like, they looked like Mawcrushers flying in with Bone Splitter Shaman.
So, yeah, something we have seen in recent books is new builds of old kits. So, obviously, we know about the Steam Tank Army. Building a Steam Tank the other day with this in the back of my mind, there's some parts that you could use to differentiate different types of Steam Tank.
Like your command tank.
Like a command tank, a kind of a standard tank. There's a few different... Currently, you can give it a load of guns, and you'd be silly not to give it all the guns. And I do wonder if there's going to be different flavours of now.
So you're going to resist buying anything else until you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've built one and I've left the bit separate, so I can swap out the turrets and the gunners if I need to.
Just buy another one.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm going to do at least 4 steam tanks in a normal army, because they're behemoths. If I can do the city that can do multiple steam tanks, I mean, even then, I probably wouldn't do 4 steam tank army, because I want to have some gunners and some cannons and stuff, but... Yeah. It's definitely a possibility, especially if there's a character steam tank I can do.
That'd be cool.
It'd be really cool.
Really cool.
So something else that we saw painted as well was Gotrek Gernison. Now, I do wonder if this guy's going to drop alongside the Free Cities book as well.
If Gotrek's going to be locked into one of those cities, then I'm afraid that's probably going to be my city.
I don't think he will be.
I don't think he'll be locked in.
No.
I don't think he'll be in the... Well, he might be in the Battletome.
I think he will be.
He's going to have dispossessed, isn't he? The keyword.
Yeah.
So, and dispossessed, you can take in multiple cities. So.
Unless he just gets Cities of Sigmar.
Or he just gets rules in the box, but in the box he comes with, and it's just a special model that's cool, but you can take him. It's probably more likely, as far as I'm concerned. Unless it's a plastic kit that's in the mainline range forever, I imagine it's more of a cool display piece, but he also has rules to take him in a dispossessed army.
I have high hopes for Slayers becoming awesome again.
Yeah.
I might have to paint him with Celestial Vindicator's pants and sneak him into my Stormcast list.
What was mentioned in the seminar, the studio are writing rules for the Forge World kits now, but it's unlikely we'll ever see them in Battle Tomes. Because a Battle Tome is, you can pick it up, all the stuff in the shop you can put in it. That's kind of why they phased out a lot of these old kits that you can't get anymore.
But you'd be able to download them.
Oh, you'd be able to download them, yeah. And they are written by the studio, and all the kind of synergies are kind of kept in mind when they're doing it as well.
You saw that with the Trog Hag and the... the squig cannon and things.
Yeah, and even Vorgrath and how he reacts to the rest of the Khorne army now. So that's a good thing. It's a shame that they're not in the book, but I get why they're not in the book.
Yeah.
However, background is written by Nick Horth and Josh Reynolds, who are Black Library authors. So this is cool, getting some of the... They started this with Malign Portents, getting the... Aaron Dembski Bowden, I think, was involved in the kind of story elements of that, which kind of ties it all together, doesn't it? I think in the past there was a bit of a disconnect between the two.
That's
good. So, yeah, it should be really, really good. Very, very excited. So, at that point, it's like, awesome, we've got two battle tomes coming, bring it on. Went into the seminar and pretty much mic drop moment when they announced the third big battle tome of the day.
And this is the one that we really predicted was going to happen.
We did, and this is More Tribes, which is the new name for ogres. And they didn't say yes or no, but heavily hinted towards the fact that this is combined ogres of all flavours.
I think it'd be a safe bet, wouldn't it?
Someone specifically asked if Beastclaw were in it, and Ben Johnson was like, well, they're ogres, and this is an ogre book, so... Yeah, so yeah, it's probably going to be similar to these other two books where you can have ogres of all flavour. You could, you know, specialise on one flavour of ogres or just go for hungry ogre goodness.
I bet my brother would be interested in this army because he liked the ogres when they were first released in fantasy.
I've been tempted. I've been on the fence of getting a Beastclaw Raiders army for so long. That book could be...
Well, this shores up some of the weaknesses of them because you don't have to have just your big monsters. You can have...
Noblars.
You can have a pack of Iron Guts or something.
Yeah.
There is something else that's tempting me to get this battle tome, though.
Well, they showed off a new tyrant.
with the spear.
Jess Bickham had his own personal one. So I managed to, you know, pick this up and have a good look at it. And there should be some pictures on the website as well of this model. And it is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it looks good in the pictures on the community website, but when you see it in person, it is so cool.
It is so cool. Now, it's one of my favourite models of this year.
Yeah, it is amazing. And all elements of this are what we saw in Rumour Engines that we predicted were ogres. I missed a little bit. I said man-eaters. But, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer that we'll get a plastic fire belly, a plastic... butcher along this. I imagine, I might be wrong, but I imagine if it's going to be a big release and there's some plastic kits, we'll probably see those characters that you can't get at the minute unless you get resin.
A big cauldron as the scenery piece.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or a big maw.
So we didn't get much information about this other than that it's come in.
Next 3 months, though. It's got to be honest.
Next 3 months, yeah. So, I mean, there is a chance that we don't get in the spells and scenery pieces for the Cities of Sigmar, because that doesn't really fit them.
Yeah.
Uruk's more likely to have some kind of Lore of the Wire and the spells into like a totem scenery piece. Free Guild, I think, will just be a book. And you could see both of these books coming out the same week.
Yeah.
You know, with then the next... Because you know, what's that? Two books, Endless Spells and a scenery piece is a week's release, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then have a bigger Ogre release a couple of months later.
Yeah.
September was always rumoured for Ogre, so yeah, maybe August we'll see the Free Guild then. So that'd be really cool. We also got some details of the new Warhammer Underworld season. So the war bands that are trapped inside the Shadespire have now escaped, and this is now set in the heart of a living mountain in the realm of beasts, and it's called Beastgrave. They had a trailer that heavily implies Wanderers versus Beastmen.
Yeah, it's like a centaur in
there. Yeah, there's a centaur in there. There's Waywatchers in there, by the look of things.
Yeah, the silhouette, because you just see the sort of silhouettes, don't you? There's like an elvish-looking archer leaping through the air. But he has Wardancer hair.
Yeah.
It's like a Harlequin Mohican.
Now, whether that's just the vibe of Wanderers now...
Perhaps, yeah.
This is a good kind of sign that Wanderers may get their own proper book as well. Because let's not forget, the Cities of Sigmar has got Stormcast and Caradron stuff in there.
Yeah.
That's not to say they don't release a book for just Dispossessed or just Wanderers.
And Wanderers as well are, well, as the name implies, not tied down to a city.
Yeah, because those books are specifically the ones that live in those cities, and it gives you a chance to expand it later on. You start a Cities of Sigmar army and then decide, oh, you know what we really call a pure Wanderers army?
With Wanderers, they could so easily sort of adapt them, move them away from Wood Elves and make them Realm Hunters.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the background of them art, they do, they wander the realms, and they even their allegiance abilities, I can't remember what the name is now, but it's basically them navigating the realms to pop up in different locations. So they are like nomads, really, so they could play on that. Yeah. Maybe they could get some like mechanic where they can interact with the realm abilities of the realm they're fighting in because they travel through these realms.
Yeah, something. That'd be cool.
I had a chat with John Bracken after the seminar. He a bit tight-lipped. He obviously can't tell us too many details, didn't have any new models, but he did tell us that there's going to be some awesome new things added to the game. It's still going to be Warhammer Underworld. You've still got a deck of cards, but they're changing some things up to make the game better. Things are going to be new core rule book. Things are going to be clearer. Things are going to be refined.
Well, I don't know if in this month's White Dwarf there's a scenario for like a deathmatch type scenario with a single model that could be baked into the rules somehow. So
it looks like they've taken the chance to kind of make it. And, well, I suppose it is third edition of the game.
Yeah.
And just clarify some things, make it easier to play.
Beastgrove, isn't it?
Beastgrave. Yeah. So yeah, that is coming again, presumably in the next 3 months. At least we've got ideas of what's in the starter box now. Unfortunately, no Stormcast Dave.
No Stormcast Dave.
Maybe they're Stormcast War Wanderers. Maybe they're Stormcast Mohicans.
Still clinging on to hope here.
Well, what was it? So four-legged centaur kind of things. Maybe four-legged Stormcast. Reforging gone wrong. I'm spitballing here. It could be potential.
Yeah, so that looks really cool. Hopefully we see some more details. Again, a lot of the attention's on these two new books for Sigmar, followed closely by the Ogres. Once that's out the way, I mean, we've had a lot of love for Sigmar this year, and the guy said, we're only halfway through the year.
Yeah.
And on that note, the final thing that we saw at the event was a teaser of the next big thing that follows the Ogres. And this is Tithe of Bones. This was an animated trailer, and a gorgeous animated trailer. If you've not seen it, you need to check it out. But it is discussing the undead character that's been released from the Storm Vault. It had kind of like oriental style music. Some people have said, oh, is this reimagined Tomb Kings? It didn't seem very Khemri-ish to me. If it is, they're going in a new direction. It's a new thing. Speculation. Vampires made their own
it
faction.
It had a much more of a vampiric vibe than Tomb Kings.
Yeah. Death Rattle made into a book maybe is another possibility. My money's on vampires. Drachenfels maybe. He's a major character that isn't in it. One of the Von Karsteins, I forget his name. Is it Vlad? Isn't in the Mortal Realms yet. He could be the guy that's been trapped in the Storm Vault. Again, this was more of a teaser, and we'll probably see more details once the Ogre book's out.
Do we think this is definitely a battle tome and not a campaign like Malign Portents?
Well, I have got a feeling this could be a battle box.
Battle box. Okay.
You know, if it's... Say we've got the Ogre book out, could we see an Ogres versus Vampires battle box? Because that'd be ace.
Ogres like eating bones.
Ogres like eating.
Ogres do like eating.
And again, we're just guessing, we didn't know the details, but it wasn't tied to a... A faction. Tie of the Bones has got a nice ring to it for a battle box.
Yeah, it does. It does, yeah.
So, this, it could be that end of this year, we see this with some new undead stuff, and then early next year we get a new undead book with loads of awesome stuff.
Well, yeah, there is a death book coming this year, though.
Yeah.
So, we know that.
Tail end of the year, then, maybe.
Yeah.
They very quickly got rid of the Destruction Order and...
Well, they said at least one. Yeah. So there could be another Order, another Destruction book coming as well.
But by combining these books as well, they've nailed a lot of the outstanding books as well. It's only really Chaos left waiting.
I mean, there's two Destruction books coming, the Orc one and the Ogres.
Mm.
So that's two Destruction.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got, what, four or five Order factions in a single battle zone?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I...
It's only Seraphon missing, really.
Seraphon, Chaos, that's really it.
Yeah.
Can't think of anyone else off the top of my head that's really missing a book now, with these new books coming in.
No.
So, yeah, it was a really, really good event. I think it was £20 to get in, which, considering you get your entry to the exhibition and all the cool stuff, you could take a Warcry model home with you. Again... You'd feel a little bit miffed if you got there late and didn't get in the seminars. Though, to be fair, it was on Warhammer Community soon after the presentation. And in the main hall, they played all the trailers and stuff as well for everyone in there. Obviously, it's a bit more, you know... hands on. It was a small group. You've got the seminar, a bit of interaction with the Games Workshop people. But I liked that everyone who didn't get into that got to see all the goodies in the main hall. And some nice touches, like the raffle for some bespoke artwork is a cool touch as well.
Yeah.
Not quite Winner Titan that they used to do at these kind of events, but I think that's pretty cool.
Excellent. Some really awesome announcements there. I can definitely see a hashtag free city challenge or something like that.
Yeah.
In the future.
I think that's going to be done. Rally, are we all trying to stick to a different free city then?
Yes. I think so.
A different theme.
Different themes. And I'll have to pick up the Auric book. And I'm super tempted by ogres. Who needs money anyway? Right, we have got our top three coming up next. And it's all on rivalries. The several Games Workshop universes are full of rivalries. From planet-sized ones down to independent characters. There's lots of people who have lots of beef with other people, and that's what this week's top three is all about.
It's all about the beef.
It's all about the beef. So, Matt, do you want to start off with your third choice?
Okay, well, I've got two biggies and a smaller one. So we'll start with Age of Sigmar. In fact, I've got one from each universe. That works quite well, doesn't it? Nice. So my number three is Archaon versus Sigmar.
Okay.
This is a conflict that goes back before the end of the world. You know, that's... Not everyone in this list can say that.
No.
Archaon was obviously, you know, the herald of the Chaos Gods, the bringer of the apocalypse. He brought the apocalypse and essentially defeated Sigmar in single combat, ending the world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Sigmar survived. Archaon survived as well. Had a bit of a barney with the Chaos Gods. His horse killed some greater demons. He's back on form now. It's a battle of epic precaution.
Epic precautions.
Precautions.
Warning. Contains some violence. Right.
Epic proportions. Captured, and I've mentioned this before, but captured brilliantly by Kevin Chin's black and red stylized artwork telling the story of this battle.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen much of it recently. I imagine when the new Chaos book, if and when it comes, Archaon may be the main threat. Nagash is kind of the big bad at the minute.
Yeah, well, Nagash was an ally against Chaos back in the war against Chaos. So, you know, maybe this is just a bit of like a family feud almost between the pantheon of against Chaos.
Once the Runous powers make their push, I'm sure they'll kiss and make up. But yeah, Archaon versus Sigmar, the shining light of humanity against a guy who doesn't really like the Chaos Gods but has accepted their gifts.
Yeah. That's a good way of summing him up, really.
Yeah.
Excellent. My third choice is going to the 40k universe.
Ooh.
I nearly just said Tyranid versus everything. But if I had to pick a particular rivalry, it would be Tyranids and Ultramarines.
So okay.
Battle for Macragge. I mean, of all the Space Marine chapters, the Ultramarines have their own little unit. The war veterans, war veterans.
Yes.
You know, they have got some serious issues with Tyranids. And I think the Battle for Macragge is one of the best battles in the 40k lore.
Yeah, it is cool.
I think it actually missed out on my... I don't know why I didn't mention that in the top three the other week.
It's got an honourable mention today.
But obviously Tyranids have got issues with Blood Angels as well, but I'm more of an Ultramarines fan, so that's why that...
Most 40k factions have got issues with Blood Angels, to be fair.
They have, yeah.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. So, that's my third choice. Yours, Jay?
My third choice is also in the Warhammer 40,000 universe, and also I've gone down to racial rivalries rather than individuals, and it is the Eldar and Slaanesh, She Who First.
Oh, yes.
So there's a very good relationship between these two... entities and races, because obviously the Eldar birthed Slaanesh, and ever since that moment they have been haunted by this being which gobbles up all their souls, so their sort of fates are sort of intertwined, and it actually plays out in the on the battlefield as well, in the 40k tabletop, because there's some interesting rules mechanics. So I think it's been a while since we played a game of 40k, but the Kreffold Eldar, I think they hate Slaanesh, so they can reroll hits against Slaanesh or reroll ones to hit against Slaanesh, but they are minus one
on
leadership or something like that. Yeah.
So
there's some cool sort of like mechanics at play in there.
Yeah, good choice. Excellent choice. Your second choice, Matt.
So my second choice is from 40K, and it's the biggest, probably the biggest rivalry in the 40K universe. The Emperor of Mankind versus Chaos.
Okay.
Just pure Chaos. Now, it's a bit of a funny one, because the Emperor has had dealings with the Chaos Gods.
Heresy!
He made pacts and deals with them.
The Inquisition, listen, you do realise
it's well, yeah, well, I'm just telling the truth, so you know people out there can make their own mind up about this unsavoury character that they worship.
I can see the custodians in my display cabinet, like, readying their weapons now.
Matt won't be on the next podcast.
So people may deny it, but he made an alliances and pacts with the Dark Gods in order to create the Primarch Project. When he kind of didn't pay up his share of the bargain, the Chaos Gods snatched away the Primarchs and scattered them throughout the universe. And that's just fair. After being cheated out of whatever deal the Emperor made with them.
Yeah.
That's just rude, basically.
Yeah, it's just quite rude, that.
And then, you know, the Emperor went to great strength to outlaw, you know, religion and stuff. So the Chaos Gods become weaker because of this. It's really the Emperor's own fault that they kind of sided with his son Horus and tried to enact his downfall.
You can tell you're a Chaos player, Matt. How many Space Marine armies have you had?
None. I have an Imperial Fist army on the way.
Yes. I think you painted a squad of Imperial Fists. It's not quite army yet. You're still
a squad of Imperial Fists, which he's then butchered on front of his Chaos tanks.
Yeah. True, yeah.
Awesome. My second choice is staying in the 41st millennium, and that is, I think, the biggest rivalry. There's only one rivalry at the top of this for me, and this rivalry is Ghazghal and Yarrick.
Yes.
I mean, over two wars, these guys have been kicked, and they're still out there somewhere,
the old man,
chasing each other. You know, it's almost like a love story, isn't it?
They can't
do without one another now.
No,
it's Armageddon, the rom-com coming to cinema soon.
Yeah. If one killed the other, then
Sure in the lore, didn't Ghazghal, he could have killed Yarrick, but he let him go or something.
I think he did. Yeah.
I suppose for orcs, he's good sport, isn't he?
That's it, yeah. I'm pretty sure they let him live.
Yeah. And Yarrick's out there with the Black Templars.
Yeah, Albrecht, with his orc power claw, which, yeah, as a member of the commissariat, or whatever they're called, you'd think that would be frowned upon, using Xenos technology. I don't know how he got away with that. Perhaps because he is Yarrick.
He is Yarrick, isn't
one
he?
Look, yeah, at you can frazzle you, because he has that bionic eye and a laser eye. I remember in 3rd edition that had a really cool rule where it used to reduce the strength of a hit that came at him, and my brother used to use it and used to roll a dice like, so my guns don't do anything because he rolled a 4.
If you're a pencil pusher as part of the, you know, Imperial Council of wherever he is nowadays, you probably don't, you know, want to cause any issues with Yarrick, do you?
Not at all.
Look the other way.
Yeah.
Excellent. Your second choice, Jay?
My second choice, I'm going back into the mists of time, beyond Age of Sigmar, back to the world that was. And this is a rather unique rivalry, because it's not a rivalry between two people or factions, it's a rivalry between three factions. And this is Carrick Eight Peaks, Skarsnik, Queek Headtaker, and Belagor Ironhammer.
Ooh.
So the dwarf Carrick Eight Peaks was a massive, crazy dwarf city, very well defended, most prosperous dwarven city. It was attacked by the Skaven and the Greenskins, the Goblins, at the same time, and the dwarves had to abandon it. Since then, the dwarves led by, well, since then, and then it was all changed in Age of Sigmar, but Belagor Ironhammer was leading an expedition back into Carrick Eight Peaks to retake it against Queek Headtaker and Skarsnik. I don't know if Skarsnik has a second name or not. Just Skarsnik.
Skarsnik.
Yeah, Skarsnik title, Goblin, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe some of the Tyrant of the High Moon or something.
Skarsnik Jones.
Skarsnik Jones, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there's one thing a dwarf hates, it's a rat. If there's one thing he hates more than a rat, it's a greenskin. So,
they had a bad day there, didn't they?
And the only thing it needed was an elf in there, and that would have been perfect. The dwarves would have been great.
Imagine all the books of grudges they could fill with that.
Yeah.
They'd have to upgrade it from a book.
Library of Grudges.
The Library of Grudges.
But that was... there's a good Black Library novel. I think it might be called Carrick Eight Peaks. I think it is, yeah. But it's basically told from the position perspective of Skarsnik, Queek and Belagor. It's very good.
All right, I might check that out.
Yeah.
Excellent. We're already round to our top choices, so please enlighten us with yours, Matt.
Well, mine is an epic, historical, awesome conflict of godlike creatures. We're going back to Middle Earth.
I thought this was going to be Matt versus Dave.
That was a close one. And there's lots of epic conflicts in Middle Earth, but I think I found the ultimate conflict in all of Tolkien's stories, and that is Bill Ferny versus Bill the Pony. So Bill Ferny, he had this poor, malnourished, beaten pony that he sold to Stride for like three times its worth. This poor pony hadn't been fed properly, and you know, Sam was quite concerned for his well-being. Once he had some hobbits kind of in his party, he was looked after and fed a bit better and managed to survive, well, pretty much the greatest battle in Middle-earth. After the ring had been destroyed and the hobbits kind of came back towards the Shire and through Bree, they found Bill and rode him back in their kind of celebratory procession back to the Shire. And who do they see when kind of crossing back into the Shire? But Bill Ferny, he's joined Sharky's gang. What a bad egg he is. But it's all right. Sam and Bill got their revenge as Bill the Pony kicked Bill Ferny, getting vengeance and becoming the top rivalry in all of stories. I don't think you guys can top that.
I can't believe that ranks higher than the Emperor versus Chaos.
Yeah. Well, the free box of Lord of the Rings, it was basically just a prologue for that.
It was, yeah. It was all building up for that battle. Yeah.
Forget the battle for Minas Tirith.
Yeah, I mean, on the internet, people say, why didn't Bill just ride an eagle to the end battle?
Exactly. And
sort of going all the way around.
Yeah. No, excellent choice, Matt. I'll just quit now. I won't bother reading. No, my top choice is between two legendary characters who we know are now in the Mortal Realms.
Ooh.
We discussed his model earlier on. It is Gotrek and Thranquil.
Oh, that is a good conflict.
Yeah, a very, very good conflict. And it's great that they can now get back to business.
Business being hitting each other with weapons.
Yeah, definitely. If you haven't read in the Gotrek and Felix books, you really need to. I know they're set in the fantasy world now, but they're still awesome.
Isn't the latest one set in the Age of Sigmar?
It is, yeah.
There's an
upcoming novel set in the Mortal Realms. Yeah. And the second volume of the audiobook as well. So, yeah, Gotrek is very much in the Mortal Realms. How many Bone Splitters we are now? We must be due a new Bone Splitter. Not Bone Splitter. It is Bone Splitter.
Yeah, it is. It's a Rat Ogre thing.
Most of the other ones have fallen to Gotrek, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. You must get sick of fighting Gotrek. But, yeah, I think that's just such an awesome clash. And I really hope they take that further. Like, maybe give them their own. Because I don't know if Thranquil's going to be in. But hopefully it'll be in the new Gotrek book.
Yeah, we'll imagine see. It would be. Like you say, they're an awesome rivalry dating back to the world that was. It'd be a shame if they didn't face off against each other.
Yeah, definitely. So that was my top choice. What's yours, Jay, to finish us off?
My top choice is back to the 31st millennium. And this is Sanguinius versus Cabanda.
Ooh.
So, I mean, Sanguinius has a history with Cabanda, and Cabanda has a history with the Blood Angels. I think they first met in battle on Cygnus Prime, where this was where Horus's last attempt to convert the Blood Angels to his cause. So he basically gambled on them, Black Rage. Is it Black Rage? I think it's a Black Rage. Red. I think it's a Black Rage. Where they basically were insane fighting these demons on Cygnus Prime. Sanguinius first fought Cabanda, and Cabanda broke Sanguinius's back, and it sent the Blood Angels into this insanity. I'm pretty sure it's the Black Rage. It's like the onset of the Black Rage. They actually murdered a load of space wolves, a load of space wolves who had been sent by, I think they'd been sent by the Sigilite to watch over all the loyalist legions just to make sure they're not going to turn. Sanguinius eventually recovers, and he meets Cabanda at the Siege of Terror outside the Eternity Gates. And I'm pretty sure Cabanda has got all like 12 Bloodthirst Lieutenants or something.
Yeah, he'll have 8 Bloodthirst Lieutenants. Holy numbers. But yeah, he is at that time Khorne's chief Bloodthirster. Now, Scarbrand, obviously, at some point. The universe will get a bit weird in the warp. Time's different. But at that point in time, he is leading Khorne's armies.
And Sanguinius returns the favour and breaks Cabanda's back on his knee and casts him down in front of the Eternity Gate. So yeah, good rivalry.
See, I'm currently reading the Lost and the Damned, the Siege of Terror book, which is the onset of this siege. You need to read it, Jay.
I am.
Your big winged fella has a starring role in this.
I'm halfway through one book at the moment, and the two, because I'm two books behind. I need to read these. Well, I'll be listening to the audiobooks because it'll be Jonathan Timbull if he's narrating it. Very good. So yeah, I'm very looking forward to watching them, reading them, listening to them.
You got there in the end. Yeah. Awesome. Yes, yeah, some excellent rivalries there. Do you want to read out what our next week's top three is going to be, Matt?
Yeah, so it's summer holidays. Like we said, we've got a couple of weeks where the podcast's not going to be on air. So we want to know, where do you want to go on your Warhammer holidays? So is there any realms or planets or locations from any of the universes that you'd like to go for your holidays?
I go to the Realm of Fire to cool down.
Maybe, yeah.
And it's on a postcard.
Yeah.
or, you know, you might just want to tweet them in to @sprewsandbrews, facebook.com/sprewsandbrews, or you can comment on the website as well. We haven't quite finished the podcast yet. We do have your picks coming up next. Matt, you have your data slate at the ready. Would you like to read out this week's top three picks from the community?
So, Fabius Fulgrim tweeted us with his top three. Yarrick versus Gazgul at number three. Lucius versus Loken at number two. That's a cool battle.
Yeah.
And Horus versus the Emperor at number one.
I'd just like to thank Fabius because I completely forgot to put out a tweet for this week's top three. And then out of nowhere, Fabius sends his in and I'm like, whoops. So thanks, Fabius.
Vincent Notley said Yarrick versus Gazgul. A lot of love there. Typhus versus Mortarion, that's an interesting one where there's kind of conflicts within. In fact, to some extent, you could argue Magnus and Ahriman as well.
Yeah, I recommend Buried Dagger if you're a fan of Mortarion and Tychus's relationship. It's a very good book.
And then, because it's Notley, Death Strikes versus Common Sense. Orkboy Phil says Space Wolves and the Thousand Suns, Space Wolves and the Inquisition, Space Wolves and the Dark Angels, Space Wolves and the Space Wolves, and Go Trick and Thankwell. Yeah, Space Wolves have a bit of a bad rep here, don't they?
Well, as Jay alluded to, even the Blood Angels murdered them.
I think everyone's had a pop at the Space Wolves at some point. Brian Glasspool says, my wallet versus GW's release schedule. My hobby wants versus my wife. And my kids versus my hobby time. Alchemist Workshops kind of chip in there to say, Haribo eases the pain.
Yeah.
Ed Smith, Matt Ward and 1D4 Chan. Yeah, I think Matt Ward have a bit of an unfair bad rep with this.
I mean, his books were very, very interesting.
8th edition fantasy was amazing.
Yeah, the problem there was he didn't write all the books. If he wrote all the books, he would have been fine.
It'd be all over the top. Ed Smith also says Dark Angels and Space Wolves. The bit in Unremended Empire when the lion casually knocks a space wolf out was hilarious. Hoss Delgado says Jürgen in a bar of soap.
That's from Caiaphas Kane.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ah, he's that
his mate, yeah.
Pete Allison, Runebrush, says the Dwarves and the Elves, the War of the Beard.
War of the Beard, yeah.
Famous upset
War of Vengeance.
Nagash and Setra, I hope we see Tomb Kings in a proper form. I don't think Setra's in the Storm Vault, but we'll see. And Dragon Ogres and Stormcast, who kicked them out of his ear. They are creatures of lightning.
Yeah.
That's harsh on the Dragon Ogres, I think.
They are chaos creatures, aren't they? Didn't they?
Well, they were birthed by chaos, but they're not inherently chaotic.
Right.
But then you could argue the same for the Beastmen.
Yeah.
I just think...
They're just ugly.
Yeah. Mick says Russ and the Lion. Totoro Bat, Typhus and Mortarion, Malice Darkblade and every other Dark Elf. I like Malice Darkblade. He was a cool character. Office Painter, Mortarion and Typhus... Honzu and Uriel Ventress and the Dark Angels and the Fallen. Narrative Wargamer says Gazgul, Thrakor and Commissar Yarrick. Iron Warriors and Imperial Fists. Yes. And Commissar Cypheus Kane's preference of staying alive and Cypheus Kane's next inevitable suicide mission. That is a conflict right there.
Those books are so good.
Nevermore, Nagash and the Skaven. See, the Skaven have got a lot of enemies as well. I mean, famously, the Skaven have managed to ruin every single one of Nagash's plans. But, you know, that's
and
what
all about the end of the world.
They helped. Gene Steeler Courts and the Imperium and Orcs and every other Orcs. I'd argue Orcs and everything in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Nerdbro says Eldar versus Necrons, Space Wolves versus Inquisition, And controversially, Sylvaneth versus Wood Elves, because they're not best pals now, are they?
No, they're not.
And finally, Craig Sinclair, Thousand Sons and Space Wolves, The Night Haunter and the Lion, and Sigismund and Abaddon.
Yeah, well, what book is that in now? That's in the Abaddon trilogy, the second book. There's a good showdown between Sigismund and Abaddon, and it is absolutely amazing. It's one of the best duels I've ever read.
Awesome.
Excellent. I think that's been a rather jam-packed full podcast there, folks.
It has. I need to get some air conditioning now.
Yeah, it is so hot in here that we're going to wrap this up right about now. We'll be back next week. You two aren't quite on holiday yet.
No, we're not. We've got a week or two left, I think. We'll have one week, I think.
I've got probably 2 or 3 weeks left podcasts because I go on the 16th. So.
What we'll do, we'll fit in where we can, but we might have a couple of weeks mid-August where the show goes quiet for a couple of weeks. But we'll be back in September properly with some more battle reports and stuff as well.
Excellent. Until next week, we'll speak to you all very soon. Bye.
Bye.